Okay, we're continuing in the Sefer Bilvavi Mishkan Evna. We're going to begin now. We're on page Nun, Os Samach. The Rebbe's just, it's number 60. The Rebbe's just finished telling us what is it going to take, why God gives us so many years. He gives us so many years for us to accomplish this goal. He says there's no such goal without difficulties in life. So now he's going to begin. This is the stuff you've been waiting for. It's the stuff you've been waiting for. Okay, number 60. Narchiv nevaris advarim bitzura muchashis umasis. Let us expand and explain these things in a way that is a way you can feel, a way that is real. Ha'adam misorer baboker. A person gets up in the morning. Daka oshtaim. For a moment or two. An shedato nases miyushevus alav. Until his mind settles. Got the little fuzzy moment of when you're waking up. And then you wake up. Maya machshava rishona shmutelos al adam lachshava miyad bekuma mimetoso. What is the very first thought that a person is obliged to think immediately when he gets up out of bed? What's the first thing? Shutzarach laritz lispalo, that you have to run to shul. Sometimes if you oversleep a bit, that might be the first thought. Or shulogamer esa'in shabaosak etzmo. Or he has unfinished business that he has to get to today. There's a very important thing coming up today. All these thoughts are things similar to them. It's not the main thought. Their portion, in other words, the place where you put this is it's the leftovers of thoughts. Stuff that's left over from the day before or whatever, it's not the main thoughts. V'chelkam machshavos tovus rus, and it could be, they're good thoughts and proper thoughts. Ulem heim einam a machshavi kars, but they should not be the main thought. Maya machshavi kars, shemut al odom lachshav b'shas kumimitaso. So what is this main thought that a person should be thinking about when he gets up from his bed? What is that first thought? So Samach Aleph tells us, "Hamachshava mutalas ala adam lachshav b'shah shukamim itasa." The first thought a person should think when he gets out of bed, "He machshava pshuta ma'od," is a very simple thought. "V'hi shiyesh borei l'olam," that there is a creator of the world. "Ala adam lahaschal es yomo im machshava hashorashis v'habasisis v'yoser shiyesh." V'hi shiyesh borei l'olam. A person should begin his day with the most fundamental primary thought that there ever could be, and that is that there is a creator to the world. Im habasis hazeh einenu kayam bitzura benuya umutzakas benevashadam. If this foundation is not existing in a properly solid built way in the soul of the person, in a way that the soul lives it in a constant way that and feels it that way, then we're missing the solid foundation for all the service of a person. Zuhi nekudas abasis. This is the fundamental point. And upon this, the person builds the entire structure of the soul of a man. And we're going to explain this more as we go on in the book. It's something he said way early in the book. One of the first, not the first, the second point, he says that the whole point of a Jew is to build a structure. And the structure has to be built properly. And the first step of building properly the Jew is to what? Is to know that there is a God. That's the first thing you have to think of in the morning. So they tell the story, now in the old, yesterday sheets, I didn't have it put in the sheets, the new ones you got, I put it in, the new ones overlap, the new three sheets overlap what you got How many did you give out today? It's just one. Oh, no, fine. I'm just saying it's like three sheets or two sheets. Yeah, so it overlaps. To tell the story with Rav Zusha, the holy Rav Zusha, one day he didn't come on time to shul. It was time to daven. He wasn't in shul, and it's very unusual. Rav Zusha was always in shul. So after davening, they go to his house because they're very concerned what's with him. He wasn't there. They checked out, and they see Rav Zusha is sitting up in bed with the covers over his head, still in his pajamas, or whatever he's wearing. Right? He's sitting up in bed, but he's covered up in the blanket. So they said, why? So he said, well, when I woke up a few hours ago, I started to say, Modeh Ani. I give thanks. And I said to myself, who am I? Who am I? I'm nothing. I'm a nobody. A mere flesh and blood. Hashem! Who is Hashem? Hashem is the creator of everything, the king of all kings. And that thought paralyzed me. How can I have the chutzpah to get out of bed? Who am I to get out of bed before God? Like he was like so overwhelmed by the reality of who the Ani was and who Hashem was. And he was so overwhelmed by this, he just could not get out of bed. The concept was so, so clear to him. Well, how am I worthy to get out of bed? Well, you know, I haven't come close to what I'm supposed to do, and I have the chutzpah to try it again. All these things, he was just totally paralyzed by that thought. He couldn't get out of bed. That would bring the Mezritzer Magid to come to him and to talk him into a state of acceptance to get out of bed. Now that's getting out of bed. That's really, you can imagine how the rest of the day went. Right? You know, and that's what Judaism always says, that all beginnings are very precious. The beginning is so, so, so critical. That's why Rosh Hashanah is such an important day. That's why, you know, your bar mitzvah is such an important day, your wedding days, all those first days. You know, there's this idea. Every thing that's not correct always has a basis in fact. You know, so people treat simchas, you know, that they have to be perfect, right? Perfect. Every little thing's got to be perfect. It's perfect, which is not a healthy way to look at things, because nothing's perfect. And people get aggravated when it doesn't work out, when the florist is late and the caterer's food is cold. It just wrecks up the whole simcha. Now, as much as that's not true, but it is based, it's got to be based on something that's true. So the truth is, it's based on the thing that's true, is that all the spiritual components should be perfect. Kids having a bar mitzvah, he should have the nicest tefillin. And they should be bought well in advance. Right? He should have prepared his laning in the nicest way. Someone sits him down and explains to him in the nicest way, what does it mean to be a bar mitzvah boy? How important it is? What does it mean to put tefillin on? What does it mean the first time you're going to say Shema? This is your first mitzvah you're doing. It has to start spiritually on the best foot possible. Nothing is spared. That it should be and the simcha is focused on the right things. If a person's getting married, they sit down and realize, this is my day to do tshuva. And you do the maximum amount of tshuva that you can do on that day. And from a spiritual perspective, it's got to be as good as it can be. That we're very particular about. We should be, at least. You know, every effort. What is it going to take? Put all my efforts, whatever it costs, to make the spiritual aspect of this the most meaningful one. Then we have a chance that maybe he's going to keep on putting tefillin. Maybe we have a chance that the marriage will be a good marriage. If we really focus, invest everything and tell him this is a marriage where you're building a temple, you're building a sanctuary, and how important this spouse is going to be to you in terms of you accomplishing the goals of why you were put on this earth, etc. It's all the things that go into it. You know, and that's why you do the Yofruf, and that's why his friends sing for him, and they get up, and they give him chizuk, and they encourage, and the wife is, and the girl as well. That's maximum. And that's the way it should be. You find by the first time they brought the Korban Tomid, when they dedicated the Mizbeach, you know, you're supposed to have a morning Korban and an afternoon Korban. The first one is the korban tamid in the morning, and one second and last one is the korban tamid at the end. The halacha normally is, what if you only have one sheep? So you do one of the korban tamids. You do the morning one. You don't do the one in the afternoon. But the halacha is, on the very first day that they dedicate the mizbeach, either you had two sheep, or you didn't dedicate the mizbeach that day. Why? Because when you start, it's got to be perfect. It's got to be perfect. It's got to be perfect. If you don't start off perfect, it's, you make a foundation of a house. If the foundation is 1 degree off, just one, a little degree, it's not level. How many can you build 100 flights on it?
Technically, you could.
I'm just saying, but it's not gonna.
It's not a good thing. If you don't pick up on it, it's not a good thing.
It could fall one day, that building. It could, right? Where are you the most particular? Right? Isn't that the most?
Foundation.
That's the most important thing, right? You know, if it's not there, forget it. It's gonna look pretty, but it's gonna fall. In time, it will fall, right? That was the whole point of the Chashmonaim. We're coming up, hopefully soon, to Hanukkah, right? Don't you feel like you already need Hanukkah? It's only been. We forget it's about a month since Sukkot ended, and it feels so far away. It feels it was like months ago, and we're already getting lost. We're getting lost in the darkness. So already have to. It's not Rish Chodesh yet, but it's got to start thinking of Hanukkah. So you know the Chashmonaim, when they recaptured the Beis Hamikdash, right, and they had the chance to light the menorah. Right, so you know the famous questions are always asked: why do we celebrate 8 days of Hanukkah? It should only be 7 days of Hanukkah because there was enough oil in the flask for one day, so the miracle is only 7 days; it wasn't 8 days. So there's many answers to the question, but and there's a lot of questions. You know, why did there was, you know, what do you mean? There's only one flask of oil. There wasn't more oil, and did it take so long to get more oil? I mean, what's the problem? You only have for one day, so go to some vineyards, crush some olives, and make some oil for tomorrow. What do you mean? It's like we're in Canada where the oil comes from Italy, and you can't get it. The shipment's going to take 3 weeks. I mean, remember, it's the Holy Land. What's the one thing you see wherever you go in Israel? Olive trees. So you just go across the street, you know, go to the local orchard. Crush, and you could do it one day. If you put a speed up on it, you could have crushed the olives and have oil for the very next day. What's going on? Why'd it have to last 8 days? Right? So there's a number of answers. One answer is that there were olives near Yerushalayim, but the best olives were way up north. Were way up, those are the best olives. That's the ones they usually used. So it would take 3 days to get there, 3 days back. So by the time they got that, it would be 7 days. So they could have used grade B olives. But it's not the same. There was another problem. There were experts, the Kohanim, you know, certain people were the experts in crushing the grapes. There's a skill to it, pressing. Those people were tame. They were impure. And the ones, there were non-experts who weren't impure, but had to wait till the guys became pure. That would take a week. That would take a week. You know, there's another thing they could have done. They could have. You know, there was one flask. You know, the oil burns quicker when it's a bigger wick, right? They could have made the wicks very thin wicks, very very thin wicks, make a very small flame, and you could have from that one flask of oil, it could have gone 8 days. So why did they? They took right away. They did the full thing, and they said, "We're going to send guys to the best place. We're going to have to wait a week. We're going to have to wait till the best crushers are pure, and that's going to take a week. And we're going to light the first day exactly the way it's supposed to be lit, knowing that we won't have anything for the next day." Why did they do that? So that's precisely the point. The whole problem with the Jewish people prior to the miracle of Hanukkah was that the Jewish people were just not very inspired from the Yiddishkeit anymore. They were had career burnout on Yiddishkeit. We had the temple so many years already. It's the same old thing, same boring thing, right? They weren't living with this Hashem aspect. They just weren't living with Hashem. It wasn't there. And, and you could tell in the way their service to God just didn't have it. And that's why God punished them, that the Greeks kicked them out of the Beis HaMikdash. And they oppressed the Jews, because if you don't care and you're not excited about serving Hashem, so Hashem punishes you, that things happen that you can't serve Hashem. Only when the Chashmonaim, the few people who are still close to Hashem, and they waged a war on God's honor, and they miraculously won, and after many years, they come back to the Beis HaMikdash. You can imagine what the scene is. You know, CNN and all the news agencies are there, and says, now for the first time in many years, the high priest is going to light, it's going to light the menorah. And you can be sure lots of Jews went to see what's going to happen. And the Chashmonaim understood, this is the first time we're going to get to do a mitzvah in a long time. First time we're back in the Beis HaMikdash. If we can't do it right, we're not doing it. And if we only can do it once, but it's right, they got to learn. They got to learn that that's the way you do mitzvahs. It has to be done in the best way possible. So therefore, when they looked, and Mamish, it looked the way it always did. It was the most amazing candle lighting that they ever had. Right? It was perfect. It was perfect. What'll be tomorrow? That's not our problem. Tomorrow we're going to tell them, we don't have the perfect scenario. We're not doing it. You only do things when you do it the best way you can. Because that's the way you're supposed to do his service to Hashem. Right? Now why are you so, but what are you talking about? B'di'evid, after, you know, if you don't have better, you could have done, you don't have to do so much. He says, but we're living in times where everybody's living b'di'evid. Our whole Yiddishkeit is after the fact. So they gotta see l'chatchila Judaism, initial Judaism, the way it's supposed to be. Because this is the first time we're rededicating it. You only get one chance to do something the first time. So you gotta really do it right. Right? So that's what they did, and that's why God then said, if you really care that much, I'll do a miracle for you. And I'll let it last for 7 days. Right? And that's the whole reason why Chanukah is the only mitzvah where everybody does the mitzvah in the best way. Right? The minimal requirement for the mitzvah is one candle. That's the minimum. If you light one candle, you fulfill the mitzvah. If you light a candle every day another one, that's even nicer. And the nicest is that everybody lights. So look at this. You know, a lot of our mitzvahs, I don't have to do it so stringent. I could rely on this, I can rely on that. But every Jew, everybody knows, everybody lights. It's like everybody does it the best way. Why is it that everybody does it the best way? Because that's what Chanukah is all about. Chanukah reinforces the idea that you gotta always do service to Hashem in the best way. And that when did it start? It started when they rededicated the Beis HaMikdash, and they said, we've got to start in the best way. And that's really, you know, that's when do you light Hanukkah candles? When do you light them? Right at the beginning of the halachic day. It's the beginning of the halachic day at night. At night, when on the one hand there's darkness, so how do we push away the darkness? How do we start our nights? We start our nights by lighting candles in the most beautiful way. And when Hanukkah's over, how do you start your night? By learning Torah in the most beautiful way. That's how you start your nights. Or you go to Marv, Mincha Marv. That's how you start your nights. It's got to be started in the most beautiful way. If it doesn't start in the most beautiful way, then the rest of the night's going to be a wash. So the same thing when you start your day in the morning. Right? You start your day in the morning and it's dark and you hear the rain coming and you go, oh my God, I gotta go through such a day, right? So you got to start it in the best way possible. It's got to be the best way possible. The best way possible is there's only one thing on your mind when you wake up in the morning, Hashem. That's it. And he will elaborate now in Samach Beis. But if you don't start off that way, you could forget the foundation for today is not solid. You're not in minyan for shul. Forget it. Forget it. The whole day you're just treading water. Right? That's why it's so good. It's so good you guys are up and you're learning and then you're daven. You're ready to put the first hour and a half, the first 2 hours. It's on the good way, but we gotta make it a little better. We gotta make it a little better to get our thoughts a little stronger. That we even can do better than what we're doing right now. And that's what we're going to see now in Samach Beis. Okay, Samach Beis. Okay, so a lot of you are saying, okay, so I said, Maudani, what do you want from me? You didn't teach me anything new. I said, Maudani Levanecha. Right? So, but we're going to do an in-depth Maudani Levanecha now. It's just more than the words. Samach Beis, 62. La'achar sheho adam zocher heitev b'machshavto sheyesh bar lolam. Once a person remembers well in his thoughts that there are, or Zohar can even mean to mention that there is a creator, a lovely sponein. You got to think. You got to think. Okay, he said Morani Lefanecha. Okay, I give thanks to you, Hashem. Okay, Bipshitus, just very simple, great. You know, 5-year-old questions now. Me Heir Osi Mishnasi. Who woke me up this morning? Who got me up? Right. Me Noisin B Hakoyach Lakubiramita. Who gave me the strength to get out of bed? Who gave me the strength to get out of bed? Ata Rabban Shalom, it's you who gave me the strength. It's not just I thank, but what am I thanking you for? That my heart's beating, everything's working, that I'm able to get out of bed. There are people, I'm sure, every night of the world, somewhere in the world, someone goes to bed and doesn't get up the next morning. Must be one person like that, statistically. They die in their sleep, many. Old people, even young people. Young people. I'm sure throughout the world, they go to bed at night, they don't get up the next day. Finished. The fact that you got up, and you have strength, and you have strength to get up, although sometimes you don't think you have strength to get up. You know, you're dragging yourself out of bed. But even so, who gave you the strength to drag yourself out of bed? Right? Hashem, you gave me that strength. Ozai, so then, so now you talk simply to God with that recognition. You say, Ata he kam to si mi mitasi. Hashem, you got me out of bed. Vinini moide l'chalze. I thank you for that, Hashem. But then I ask another simple 5-year-old question. L'shema he kam to si. For what purpose did you get me up in the morning? Why didn't you let me just die last night? Why did you let me get up? There must have been a reason I got up. Bikdesha evaroscha karoi, so that I should serve you properly. That's why you got me up, because I gotta sanctify your name today. I gotta try to get close to you today. There's a reason why I'm up. And that's the first thought in your mind. I'm up because I got a job to do for Hashem. Valkeini nikom, besos Hashem liyom, so I get up with God's help for the day. Shiritsonihi, that my will is, that this day should be overflowing with service to God. With service to you, Hashem. He's saying it all in the second person. To you. Keep saying you, Hashem. Right, it's over. Today is going to be a jam-packed day of service, Hashem. Now, a lot of us, you know, just the way life is, we kind of think differently. You know how much work you didn't get done yesterday. But for whatever reason, there was an emergency. You had to take your kid to emerge for 6 hours, and it was nothing, but you're 6 hours behind, and there's a deadline at work. You get up in the morning and says, oh man, I got so much work to do today. You know, it's like, I wish I could call in sick, but I can't, because we got to get the project done by the end of the week, and I got to get this amount of done today. Oh yeah, today's shopping day. Oh yeah, I got to go to Sobeys. It's going to take forever. Yep. It's raining. Oh my goodness, it's going to get... I forgot to get the garbage. Oh, all 7 blue boxes. Seven blue boxes now we had to do. Oh, how am I going to figure to get into 3 garbage bags? Oh, and it's raining. I got to take it all out of the ride. And that's what you think. Can you imagine? It's not going to be a great day today. It's like a lousy day. You haven't even got out of bed. It's a lousy day. Like, what do you got to get? You know, some of these days, you just know what's coming ahead of you. You know, it's inventory day. Hate inventory day. Whatever. Clean out the garage day. My wife said, this is the day you're cleaning out the... Oh, I got to clean. It's like all these things. It's like at most things we do, it's like not that... Like, now you understand why people, you know, don't want to get up. And why they want to go on vacation all the time. Because they hate what they're... You know, they don't hate it, but it's just, I did that already. I took out the garbage last Wednesday. You know, it's like... Do you say anything godly about taking out the garbage? You know, but it will be if you have the right start to the day. If the right start to the day, you know, but on the other hand, you know, what if you know, also you wake up in the morning, you don't feel so good. You're getting a pain in your chest. You're getting nervous, and you get a little more nervous, and because you're nervous, your heart's beating faster. And all of a sudden, your hands are getting cold, and you say, oh no, this can't be. I'm only 42 years old. Am I getting a heart attack now? And then they rush you to the hospital. And then they tell you it was just an anxiety attack. You were exercising it, so you pulled a muscle. You know, that's Baruch Hashem, that's 99% of the time, right? Baruch Hashem, you pulled a muscle. But you were thinking, oh, what's going to be life with half a heart? I might die, this and that. And then all, you have that scare. And then all of a sudden you realize you're alive. Ach, Baruch Hashem. I'm alive. Oh, yeah. All of a sudden everything's precious, right? So, you know, so don't blame God that doesn't give you scares every day. So you shouldn't feel, you know, you woke up, Baruch Hashem. You know, everything's working. Hashem, that was so great. It was, your mom is amazing. Right? And he's going to talk about that. He's going to talk about how you can feel that way. And when you feel it, it's amazing. And if you got me up and I have one more day to live, you know, it's so important that I make this day the best day that I can make it. Because I got so much to do for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hey, the garbage. That's amazing. Baruch Hashem, I can take out the garbage. You know, there's some people, Nebuch, sick people in our community, they can't take out the garbage. They wish they could take out the garbage. You know, you wish. I wish I could have the strength to pick up the garbage can and take it out. So I say, Baruch Hashem, I was out weightlifting. I could pick up 4 garbage cans in one time, so I don't have to spend so much time on the garbage, and I could spend the rest of the time serving Hashem. And you know what? Taking out the garbage is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah cleanliness. Can you imagine if we don't take out the garbage and you leave the garbage piling up and the rats start coming and the disease starts coming? Imagine what it is to be an Arab in Hebron, the Arab part of Hebron, where the roaches are as big as cats. I saw one of them in some place. The roaches are as big as cats. You know? So you need cats that are like He-Man cats to kill the rats. You know? You ever see a rat go slow because they're so big? Right? So you say, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. You say, Baruch Hashem, I have the ability to make my house clean and it's so easy. All I gotta do is take it to the curb and I'm able to pay money that they take it away and I don't have to. You can imagine what these guys gotta do with those green bins now. You know, you got 10 little bags there. Somebody's got to open up those bags. You know, whoo. You know, I don't got that job. Baruch Hashem, I had the money to pay the taxes that somebody else is schlepping it out to the dumpster. And I can imagine if every day we had to take it to the dumpster, who knows where? Every day you're going to be, people live on the cottages, right?
You can't even think Torah.
The love of cottage life, right? You have to take all your garbage, you schlep it in your car to a dumpster. Yeah, I'm just saying. So Baruch Hashem, the city you're paying your taxes and they're taking it for you. See, Baruch Hashem, my house is clean. You know, it's a mitzvah to have a clean house. Baruch Hashem, I have muscles to take it out. Take out the garbage is a mitzvah. It's a big mitzvah. You should be fighting over it. Right? I want that mitzvah to take out the garbage. You don't think you're going to get rewarded in the Shemayim for taking out the garbage? 100%. 100%, as long as you were thinking the right things, 100% you're going to get a reward. Because you know what? You say, you know, I made a world, said Hashem, and I wanted you to make sure it was clean. And you did your part to make it clean. You went and you recycled, and you know, there's more to this beautiful world, and you had that in mind. I'm cleaning up Hashem's house. It's Hashem's world, isn't it? Isn't it Hashem's world? So you can imagine what a crime it is to litter in God's world. Especially if it's in Eretz Yisrael. Ooh, it's much worse of a crime because that's mamish. It's mamish the palace. But it's Hashem's world. You think Hashem wants the world to be a junk pot? You know, and I'm saying, you know, I take pride in Hashem's world and I want it to be clean. And I listen to what the city says and we want to do it in the nicest way and make it clean. And, you know, there's a lot of mussar you could learn from this recycling. It's a lot of mussar you could learn. You know, now all of a sudden, you know, we got 3 little different bags in the kitchen. There's one bag that we put, can't have a blue box in the kitchen. It just doesn't fit the decor, right? It's just got a blue box and a green bin. So you can't. So you got one bag. So every, you get a little bag. You fill it up with enough blue box stuff. You go to the same as the blue box. So this, what's it saying? You know, your garbage, you got to sort out your garbage. Mm-hmm. So we don't have enough spiritual garbage in our lives. Averis that we have, we have to sort out our garbage. You know, I yelled at my wife. Now let's recycle that. Was it a blue box or a green box? Was the anger because of arrogance? Was it because of impatience? Was it because you're attracted to other things? Let's recycle your garbage. We have garbage, but we got to identify what kind of garbage is it. You know, is it the kind of garbage that can be recycled, or it's no, we get rid of it, we don't do anything else with it. You know, there's some bad things you do, but if you spin it in a good way, you can recycle it. You know, you yelled at your wife with enthusiasm. So let's think about it. The enthusiasm, that's good. Let's keep it, let's recycle that enthusiasm, but let's channel it somewhere else. Right? But yelling, that's never good. Get rid of that one. That goes dumpster. You're like, you don't ever want to see that again. But the enthusiasm, the cleverness, you insulted her with a good chap. Oh, you were clever. So recycle that cleverness for Torah. Right? There's what to learn. There's what to learn. If you want to think of Hashem, you know, you could be dancing taking out the garbage. Mm. Come on, you should be dancing. Baruch Hashem. I can take out, there's so many good reasons to take out the garbage. Even if it's raining. Right? But it depends how you start the day. If you start the day, that it's unbelievable that I'm getting up to serve Hashem and you got me up to take out the garbage. So Baruch Hashem, I'm doing the Ratzon of Hashem. Right? All these things that you get upset about during the day, you gotta get over it already. Right? You're doing the carpool, right? Whoever's gotta do carpool, that's full sore for you. Right? Why? Because it's raining, it's gonna take twice as long. So either you're gonna say, oh, this is a terrible day. You say, Baruch Hashem, I get another 20 minutes of taking children to school. You know what kind of mitzvah that is? Instead of normally only being 45 minutes of the mitzvah, you want me to do the mitzvah for an hour and a quarter today. So I'll do it. Happily. I'll happily do it. But I had other things in mind. Well, obviously Hashem had other things in mind. But I was going to be, but if I, you know, I planned on getting to work in the place, Hashem said, you know, you don't need to. This is the mitzvah. I made it rain and I want you to take another half hour taking your kids to school. Happily. Whatever you say, Hashem. This is the reason. This is the reason I was. You gave me life today. So okay. So I'm not in charge. Why are we upset when it's raining? Carpool takes longer because I had other things to do. You're not the one who decides what you do, Mister. Hashem decides what you do, and that's the way you have to deal with it. And just do it with a smile. But I'll be late for what? You're not, with Hashem, you're not late for anything. He's the one who gave. You go to work, and the boss, you know, you had to do a certain amount of work. And you know, you got to, the boss says, you know, I know what you think. You want to do this? Put it on hold. I got something, an emergency came up. You're going to be angry? You're going to say, it's okay. The boss said, I don't have to do it. Fine. I don't have to do it. So I'll do whatever he tells him. So Hashem says, you know, you thought you had to be to work at 9 o'clock. I'm telling you, you don't have to be work till 9:30 because I'm telling you, you still have to do the carpool. That's all. And that's what I want you to do. That's my rutzen. You need a little more time doing the midst of doing carpool. That's what I want you to do today. And you'll come late to work. Don't worry about work. I'll take care of work. I'll take care of work for you. I'll give you extra luck that normally takes you 3 hours to do. It's going to get done in 2.5, and it'll make up for that. Don't worry. Leave it to me. I can run the world really well. Just follow my orders and be happy with those orders. Because whatever you're doing, and you're doing it for me, and you're close to me. You don't have to worry about anything else. You come into the office. The office says, why are you late? I was like, I had to take the kids to the carpool. I'm really sorry. Fine, don't worry. He won't fire you. Don't worry about it. You'll find favor in his eyes. You know what it'll be? I'll make the boss twice as late for work that day.
Because of the rain.
Because it's raining for him too. So don't worry about it. And you're late and you're aggravated and you got to speed and the guy in front of you, of course, is going slow. It means you're going to the speed limit. Right? And he's not breaking the speed limit. And you're honking. Just take it easy. Relax. You'll be fine. You'll get there when you get there. It's all part of the mitzvah of taking your kid to school. Right? It's a different way to look at it. But the only way you can look at it, if you constantly remember, it's Hashem is the one who's doing that for you. So that's how you started the day. Okay, now you're up. Okay. So now you're in the car. You're backing out. And you're going now on your street. And you're going to shul. The person's going to shul. So what thought are you supposed to be thinking as you're going to shul? You gotta ask yourself, who am I praying? Who am I gonna be praying to? In front of the creator of the world. This is like more important than Bill Gates. You know, it's like funny, you know, when in the summer we had to do fundraising appointments, right? And I'm sure I'm going to have to do more next year.
Right?
You're trying to get to certain people that you know it's important appointments. and you're working on it, and you're calling, and they cancel this, and then you finally get the appointment. You're ready for this appointment, man. You're excited about this one. I get only one chance. I got to present what I got to present, and I got to walk out with a certain amount of dollar bills. You know, and when you're driving, that's the only thing you're thinking about. What am I going to say? How are we going to do it? How are we going to present? How are we going to this? How are we going to that? Right? So who are you going to already? Even if it's Bill Gates. So what can Bill Gates do already? What can he do? If God forbid you stop breathing, can he get you breathing again?
No.
If you can't walk, can he get you walking again? Well, maybe if he invests millions of dollars and you go to a hospital, it takes years and years and years and years. Maybe, but I think he really cares about you. But you know what? You got better than him. You got Hashem. Hashem gave Bill Gates everything. Right? So you're getting to talk to Hashem. Now that's a good entity to speak to. I'm going there to speak to him, with Shabbos, or to praise him, with to ask things from him. What an opportunity. I got an appointment. I got in today. Ulam calls that bunny al yisayt echad bor, but it's all built on one fundamental point. Sheyesh bayre lo'olam, that there's a creator to the world. It's that simple point has been drilled in our head that there is a creator to the world. We told you before the story of Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. He was going from yeshiva home. That's the extra thing I put in the notes, I think. Yeah, or whatever. So he's going home with his student. They're talking Torah. He comes to the front door of his house, and Reb Shlomo Zalman stops, straightens up the tie, makes his jacket presentable, does the button.
Same story.
And the student says, is there an important person in the house that you're meeting? You have maybe an important meeting with somebody. You're trying to make yourself look nice. He says, of course there's someone important. He says, who is it? It's my wife. My wife's there. And he was in his 80s. It wasn't like they just got married, you know. He's in his 80s. Been married there for 60 years already, right? It's the same thing every day. But he got to look my nicest for her. And it's more, and I'm sure he meant more than his wife. You know, he said one thing, and I'm not denying that was true, but I'm sure he meant more than that. You know, if you have a wife and you're married, the Shekhinah's in the house. If your wife's in the house, that means the Shekhinah's in the house. If you have a house with a wife, it's a house with the Shekhinah. So it's not just his wife, it's his Shekhinah also. So he knew where he was going in. He's going into Beis HaMikdash. He's going into the Beis HaMikdash. He's going to the Beis HaMikdash. Nowadays, before you go out the door, you want to look good. You know, right? There's a mirror, right? When you go out, make sure I'm looking good for everybody else. Nothing wrong with that. You know, you're a Jew. You got to look like a mensch. You can imagine you go out, and your lapel's crooked and this and that. Everyone's going to laugh at you. You're right, but that's half. We did it half correctly. When you go back in the house, you also got to straighten yourself up. At least the husband has to straighten himself up because he has to know who he's coming in front of. Okay, so this is the first exercise. To think about. Gotta think about how to do this. Let's just jump into Samach Gimel just a little bit. 63. Here's Hashem. Hopefully tomorrow we'll finish this chapter. Zeh Yesod Visharish Shel Kol Avodas Adam. This is the fundamental root of all the service of a person. Liyaseid Benasho Benimo, to develop a foundation inside one's soul. That the soul has to feel every moment, literally, that there is a creator. Not just an intellectual knowledge. But the person's lifestyle should be saturated with this feeling. And his entire thoughts, the entire person, he lives in a way that he can feel this simple and fundamental knowledge in the greatest way that there's a creator to the world. Throughout the entire day, you should go through the whole day with this simple, simple thought that there's a creator to the world. Machshava pshuta, such a simple thought, pshuta shiva pshutim, the simplest of thoughts. You don't overthink this so much. Without deep meditations. You don't have to go into meditation. We're going to think about what God is and how nice and how, you don't do that now. In the brackets he says, deep meditation, laosam elishin nitzrichim lakach. For those who need it, yeshliach etzman miyuchad lakach. Set aside special times for that. You could do that. Say, you know what? I'm dedicating a half an hour to meditate. That's okay. But you can't be in a meditative state all day long. Ulam b'meshach hayom. But as the day goes on, ikar avodas adam, the primary service of a person is leilech imachshav pshuta, to go with a simple, simple thought. Asher mispaseses umispareres yoser v'yoser, that gets more grounded and more clarified, more and more. Im godel hamokas adam bismanam yuchad lekach kanal. You know, when you do spend time meditating, there'll be times you meditate, gives you a deeper awareness of Hashem, and then that plugs into the simple thoughts that you have based on that deeper awareness. But through the day, simple thoughts. Live with the simple thought in your head. First it starts in your head. It's an intellectually simple thought. And through that, to slowly, slowly awaken, to wake up the simple point of faith in the heart. Which is the utmost simplicity. Yidia bilti murkevas klal. A knowledge that's not complex at all. Yidia brumot, such a clear understanding, sheish borlom, that there is a creator to the world. Top of the next page, just one more line. Zutsuras trilas avoda eitzel adam shorot salivnos olam pnevim mutsukubani. This is the beginning of the service of a person who wants to build a solid inner structure. It's just keep thinking and thinking. That intellectual understanding, you just keep thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it until you are totally aware inside and you totally feel it. That's the foundation. If you don't have that foundation, the structure is weak and it's not going to work. So Mr. Shem, we'll continue and finish this section of the book, Mr. Shem, tomorrow.